Well, this evening I'd like to follow up on the message this morning as we looked at the silent disciples that followed the Lord while he was here on his earthly ministry, and how the Lord points that out to us, or the Holy Spirit does, there in the narrative of Christ just before he gets close to the time of the crucifixion. And the burden is always for us to get past ourselves and truly have the boldness that God wants us to have. And I think we fall into the trap, I know I have, of looking at people that maybe are a little bit more extrovert than you are, and thinking, wow, I'm just not like that. And so we evaluate our ability to be able to talk, communicate, to be channels of the gospel as based upon our human abilities. That's always the problem in every part of our life. We think of a Dwight L. Moody. Now, he was an extrovert. In fact, he sort of broke the mold of an extrovert. He was something else. I've done a lot of study on him. However, you cannot explain what happened with Dwight L. Moody based upon his leadership abilities. It was based on the power of God. Now, you can look at a Billy Sunday. If you've ever seen the caricatures of him or read his biography, he was an extrovert. He would jump on this pulpit probably to preach if he was here, and you'd go, whoa, I mean, they'd never seen anything like that. And he had the ability. He was a professional baseball player, quite an athlete. And you say, wow, if I could just be like him, then I could do that. Ever heard of a Hudson Taylor? Ever heard of a Jonathan Goforth? They're not a Dwight L. Moody. They're not a Billy Sunday in personality. Hudson Taylor was a very sensitive man, very inward, prone to self-introspection and discouragement. Jonathan Goforth was a little bit more of a leader than Taylor as far as his natural ability, but also he himself had inhibitions. These were two very sensitive men. And yet, as you look at their lives, look at the thousands, the tens of thousands, eventually the millions that were reached because they knew how to get a hold of God and they obeyed the Lord. Another man that I could tell you about, his name is Timothy. Would you turn to 2 Timothy with me? Very familiar passage here, just to reinforce some of the burden here as we're talking about the Christ walk and the matter, especially in line with our witness. Timothy was very clearly a sensitive man. Moule, the great commentator, writes, "Paul is writing to a man of the gentlest and most sensitive spirit, one to whom at the best of times difficult duty was a formidable load, and who was now about to suffer a deep bereavement." That was the loss of Paul. Paul knew that he had very few days left before Nero would martyr him. "To face a hostile world alone and to try to do his pastoral duty still, Timothy would be tremendously tempted to yield in the cowardice which fails and sinks in the prospect of the evil hour. The enemy of his soul and his cause would whisper to his sick heart the hopelessness and the futility of the struggle." We know that many in the area in which Timothy was ministering there in Ephesus already had pulled aside from following Paul because of their fear of what Nero was doing. And it was a great disappointment to Timothy. So he was in a time of great pressure. And very clearly, as we look at 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and just what Paul says to him under inspiration, we realize we have here a very sensitive man, not like a Dwight L. Moody, not like a Billy Sunday, or whatever other person you want to put in that characterization. This was a man that, without the power of God, did not seem to have the human ability to do what he needed to do. But I want to encourage you, human weakness is where we show forth God's strength. And if you know that you have timidity, lack of confidence in how to speak, maybe lack of skills in personal communication, or whatever, you're the perfect candidate for the glory of God to be seen. In fact, it's amazing, some of the most unlikely prospects are the ones that God uses that on the Christ walk to do great and mighty things. In fact, that's always the way it is. God uses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. So we're just going to look at two verses, very familiar verses here, but I trust they'll be an encouragement to you here this evening. Verse 6 of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. You remember, these are the last words, last chapters that the Apostle Paul would pen before his martyrdom. And this really gives the heart of this man. It's a wonderful book to read and reread. Verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." How can we become regularly able to allow the Spirit of God to give us boldness? Well, first of all, we've got to have spiritual zeal. Stir up the gift. Now, I want to encourage everyone here. If you're saved, you're indwelt by the Spirit. We say that often. That's a big deal, folks. May that truth never get old. The third person of the Trinity indwells you. So many mornings when I'm praying and I am focusing on the Spirit of God and I just go over that simple terminology, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, it's just amazing how it stirs you. The Holy Spirit makes that become very much alive in your heart. And so the Spirit of God indwells us, and God has a unique gifting and purpose for each one of us. This is not just for a preacher like Timothy. He says, I want you to stir up the gift of God. I want you to be put in remembrance of what life is all about. Every Christian is given a spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But all these worketh that one and the same, selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Speaking of the spiritual gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So, as we come together here in a local body, Christ is the head, and every member of this church is gifted uniquely to be able to have a body that is able to function, edify itself, and have the power so that the body can function in fulfilling the Great Commission. Spiritual gifts are not for the world. Spiritual gifts are for the church, edifying one another in love, as you'll find in the Ephesians 4, 1-16 passage. And so every one of us here has a gift, and that gift is all for meeting the needs of one another as we are facing a hostile world that desperately needs the gospel. And the family of God, the body of Christ, has spiritual life. We feed one another, we encourage one another, and we then are able to have boldness to go out and do what we need to do. By the way, that's why you need to be in church as much as you can. I don't know about you, but I need everybody else's spiritual gifts. I get in a prayer meeting and hear other people and their perspectives. Man, I get encouraged. Go into Sunday school, I get encouraged. I love to hear the testimonies of folks, I get encouraged. And of course, I've got the pastoral gifting and endeavor to lead that way. But we all need one another. And the more we have our gifts stirred up, the more we are able to encourage one another in the matter of this whole matter of spiritual warfare for the grace of God, to see the cause of Christ go forward. Now here it says, excuse me, that we are to stir up the gift. In other words, that is the idea of to put a stick into coals of fire and stir them into a raging flame. We need to allow the Spirit of God to get a hold of our hearts to where there is His passion, not our emotion, but His passion for His cause and for us to see the big picture of what we need to do for one another in a church and then what we need to do for the world in reaching the world. And so when there's a fire in your heart, when you've got a passion in your spirit, you can do anything. You realize that you're not going to do something difficult if you're not excited about it. Sort of an obvious thought. Have you ever noticed that there's something, a duty you're supposed to do, but you're really not thrilled about doing? It's so hard to do. But if you're really excited about getting something done, or there is some big cause that you're part of and you can't wait to get that accomplished, I don't care how many hours you got to put into it, how hard it is, how much fatigue might come with it, you're energized, you're excited, you're stirred up, we're going to get this done. I don't know how people on the campaign trail do it. I watch all those aides that support congressmen and senators and governors and the presidential campaign. They go tirelessly because there is something in them to believe, for whatever reason, and I don't know what it would be, but for whatever reason, it's really going to be worth it to see this candidate elected. And they are passionate about it. Everyone here has been part of a cause where you've been excited about seeing something happen, and you get stirred up about it. Well, that's a human thing. When we're excited spiritually and we realize who we are, what our gifting is, we realize that we have a purpose here within this church. This church needs me, and the world needs me, and the Spirit of God is able to stir up our heart into a flame of fire. Boldness isn't a problem. Man, when you understand, when the Spirit of God is working, oh man, you've got to speak. In fact, it's just about to explode out of you. When was the last time that was the case? Folks, the worst thing in the world, now it's important to know what's right to do, but the worst thing in the world is just to go through rote duty in the Christian life. And the thing that will suffer is evangelism. You've got to allow the Spirit of God to stir up your spiritual gift. Now, that's why it's important to minister to other believers if you're really going to be a bold witness to the lost. Inreach leads to outreach. You can't just have outreach because we need one another. You can't just have inreach because it will end up dead-ending, because the whole purpose for inreach gifts within the church is for the Great Commission to be accomplished. And so you've got to realize, wow, I get to serve the Lord today. God wants to use my life today. That's why get involved in ministry. Get involved in people's lives. Be willing to come out of your comfort zone and let the Spirit of God use your gifting to reach out in mercy and encouragement, exhortation, in teaching, whatever God would have you to do, in giving, and to be a great spiritual blessing one to another. And when you're alive spiritually within the context of the church, you're going to find that boldness will automatically come. Because what's happening? The Spirit of the living God is working. And He is the one that will do the miracle of getting you beyond yourself. And so those verses that we often read, quench not the Spirit, grieve not the Spirit, are very serious matters. Whenever duty becomes a heavy, hard thing to do, then I guarantee you there's some sin, there's some unbelief, there's some disobedience, there's some inner attitude that's not right, because it should not be a labor. When you're excited about something, work no longer is work. When you love what you're doing, you can't get enough of it. I mean, it just ought to be, this is just a privilege to do this for the Lord. From family to your ministry, whatever it is, we've got to ask the Lord to stir up the gift that is in us, and then that will just automatically go out into our reaching others. So he says, I want you to put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He says here that he acknowledged Timothy had the specific gift that he had, and you need to be praying too that God will make it very clear how he is using you within the body. And if you're not right now having a specific ministry opportunity, I would encourage you to volunteer and say, you know, I really want to be involved in people's lives. So I know it's a unique place to start, but that's where he starts. Start with inreach. That will affect your outreach. You need victory in your home if you're going to be a good witness. You've got to have victory in your ministry if you're going to have boldness to witness. You've got to have a sense of personal victory over sin, victory in the closest relationships, and victory in other believers' lives, and have the flame of the Spirit of God burning within you that will then give you, obviously, the desire to talk to other people. I can tell you, a defeated dad is not going to do very much witnessing. a defeated mom's not going to be doing much witnessing. If you've got continual personal habits that are feeding you and you're not living in victory, you're not going to have much boldness. And if you're not seeing God change other Christians' lives because of your life, it'll just dead end. So it's very important to get a hold of that. And then, let's go to verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We see very clearly here that fear is not of God, it's of self. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now, Timothy had some reasons to be a little bit thrown. He understood his mentor, the one that was his father in the faith, was about to be martyred. Nero was on a rampage. Many of the leading lights in Asia Minor were drifting away because of fear. And here's Timothy, a very sensitive man that God had used. He had some obvious things he was considering, trying to figure out. He was rationalizing, I'm sure, tempted to. And Paul says, listen, fear never is of God, this kind of fear. Not talking about reverence, but man's fear. God, Holy Spirit is never part of timidity, fearfulness, or cowardice. And so if we are spirit-filled and letting our gift operate and we're stirred up to serve the Lord, you're not going to have fear dominate. You may have the human reaction come because fear, humanly, is a built-in protection. But immediately the Spirit of God overcomes that and can work. And so when you have spiritual vision, it never looks then at the situation from a human perspective. And so the self-dependent fleshly life is revealed by cowardice. I don't know about you, but that sort of pricks a little bit, doesn't it? Sometimes we'll say, but I'm just made differently, or I haven't had the background, or whatever. Let me just say, folks, when a situation comes in which Christ wants us to speak and we don't, that's never of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, not trying to beat us down on this, but we need to step back and say, Lord, that was me. That was me. There's no excuse for that. You're very clear. From taking a stand to proclaiming the truth, you would never lead me to have a spirit of fear, to back off from speaking as I ought to speak. Satan does everything he can to get us off of the ground of faith and get us to fear. And so we can rationalize. In fact, I think we even come up with theological systems to cover for our fear. But that's of the flesh. It's our default reaction when we face a situation in which we're now into spiritual conflict. We've got to take a stand for God. We've got to communicate. We face it. And if we're not energized by the Spirit, genuinely yielded to Him, our default position is to back off in fear, and our mind begins to rationalize why not to do what we're going to do. And I think if we will just be honest and say, Lord, that's the flesh. I don't want the flesh to control. And right at that moment, say, Lord, give me power. I'm going forward. And by the way, He will not make you feel powerful. You take the step of faith, and then He will empower you. That's passivity when you wait for Him to carry you through. You've got to take the step of faith, and I'm telling you, you will begin to realize this isn't God. I mean, this isn't me. This is God all over what's happening in my life right now. And a lot of this comes down not only to soul winning, but the Christ life means having a consistent testimony. In a large office years ago, there were a number of young Christians that had been led to the Lord by a young lady. And she was rising up in her business there. And the time for the annual office party was drawing near, and she was asked to help arrange the banquet. She realized that alcohol was going to be served. So here she was in a huge dilemma. She told her boss, I'm sorry, it is impossible for me to do that because there will be alcohol served this year. The office manager was really put out, very offended. But the young lady said, "Mr. L, I dare not do it. Some of the young people in this office are watching me and will follow my lead. Also, my master expects me. I do nothing that will cause anyone to stumble." You know, a lot of the things that we find in evangelicalism today would not be done if this rule would follow. In other words, we're not going to do anything that is going to lead people into potential problems. This argument over social drinking is one of the most tragic things, and I'm not prepared to go into it here today. But I'm telling you, folks, I would never want to do anything that would cause someone to go into alcoholism. Ever, ever, ever. Think of how many of you have been saved out of that. You know, and this whole argument misses the whole point of that boldness for truth and that desire to stand for the Lord Jesus. We've really lost that today. Christians being willing to do what the Holy Spirit says. Leadership at home, dads will collapse. They will not lead out as they ought to because they are looking at themselves, and the default position is fear, and it will paralyze you in what needs to be done, loving but firm leadership within the home. And on, it could be given examples. Other things would be for other believers. You know, if ever there was a day when people on fire for God kindly exhort one another, it's today. In fact, that's a biblical principle. And that only comes when we do not allow fear to overcome us. Well, the supernatural fruit of a spirit-empowered, zealous life where our gifting is able to predominate, God is able to work, we're edifying one another, and therefore we are understanding that it's not spiritual to allow fear and cowardice to come into our life, then there will be some evident fruit. And I love this. We all know this part of the verse. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Those are three qualities that are pretty major, aren't they? You see, when you're living the Christ life and you're not looking at yourself, your own timidity, your own weakness, your own propensities, but you're allowing the Spirit of God to have full control in your life, and your gift is stirred up, you have a purpose in life, God's working in your heart, and the boldness begins to come, then you begin to live a life in which power and love and of a sound mind are there. This power is not the feeling of powerfulness. It is the ability of God to do what you ought to do. Did you know that oftentimes the greatest power that you'll ever experience, you won't feel it, you'll just see it. What I mean by that is, you won't feel like having a bold witness, but you knock on the door and you start depending upon God, and God will enable you. You might actually be nervous the entire witnessing time, but the person gets saved. And you see God do through you what you could not do. Now, sometimes he will give you some real sense of courage and boldness. That's wonderful. But that's not the point. Some of the times in which I've seen God do more in preaching have been the times I felt the weakest all the way through, but dependent upon the Lord, and his power is there even when you don't feel it. And so when we're dependent upon him, and so power comes when we don't rationalize, we don't fall back, we don't accept the weakness of reaction, and we allow the Lord to work. So it's power is really, folks, get this, freedom from self. Power is freedom over self. Power is the ability to do what God wants us to do over what we would normally do. We would run, God moves forward. We would react, God would love. All you can just think of all the opposite reactions from our flesh. Power is the ability to have freedom over self and to have God's grace evident in our lives. Major Ian Thomas says, when it comes to the point of obedience to God's clear instructions, the life of Jesus Christ within you makes human circumstances irrelevant. For to share his life now as he once shared his Father's life on earth is to know, as Jesus did, that someone else is taking care of the consequences. Someone else is doing the work. Someone else is enabling you. And so God will give us power. So it's power is the victory over self. Love is the freedom from selfishness. You don't care about yourself. You see, if you don't care about yourself, boldness is no problem. If you don't care about yourself, sacrifice is no problem. If you don't care about yourself, getting rebuffed is no problem. It's a totally different perspective. And that's what happens. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You know, when you really love somebody, you'll do anything. I've given this illustration before. When I was younger, we were living in Durango. We just went by there this last year, the first house where we lived. And for some reason, I was home with my sister. I was just in my mid-elementary years. And my sister, Joy, was just a little bit younger than me. And I don't know what happened, but she just put her wrist right through the storm door. Well, that's not a good place to cut yourself, is right at the wrist, obviously. And when I saw blood spouting up, shy me, who would not have knocked on a door at that time to sell anybody anything. I wouldn't have wanted to talk to anybody that I did not know. I immediately saw the blood, and all of my timidity, all of everything that would be inhibitions, went away immediately. I started screaming down the street. I started knocking on doors. It took me two or three doors. Finally found someone home, and I literally drugged the person to my house, and then they were able to call. We didn't have cell phones, obviously, in those days. We even had rotary phones, folks. I mean, that really dates us here. But the call was made, and she was rescued. It was pretty nip and tuck. But, you know, I love my sister. I didn't care about what people thought. I sounded like an idiot. I looked like an idiot. I acted like an idiot. But her life had to be saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we loved the Lord Jesus and other people that much? You see, that's what the Spirit of God does. When the flame is in your heart, when you are just stirred to see God work, and you realize that this thinking and rationalizing and these priorities are just all about self, you let the Spirit of God work. God will give you power. That's power over self. He'll give you love. That's freedom from self. And then he'll give you a sound mind to identify self, to be able to think in such a way that you have self-control, moderation. It's freedom from selfish thinking. You know, once you see your thinking as wrong, you're halfway to victory. The problem is we believe our wrong thinking. But the minute we see it as wrong thinking and cry out for help, that's when God can work. So the Spirit of God, he gives us power. He gives us freedom from self-love, a genuine putting of God and others first. And then he gives us the ability to think right. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So I just wanted to go over these verses that are somewhat familiar to us. But friends, if we do have the spirit of fear, what does that tell us? We have just stopped depending upon God. We have just stopped having the Spirit of God control. But you know, in just a moment, you can get back on the ground of faith. Say, Lord, I can't do this, but you can. I tell you, it's a crisis all the time. Lord, I can't. I don't know how many times I pray Nehemiah prayers. I'll be in a situation, I don't know what to do, and I just simply say, Lord, I am looking to you. Help me right now. I admit my weakness, but I want to do what's right here. I want to help this person. I want to have the courage to do the right thing. I want to make the right decision for my own priorities. Lord, I cry out to you, and I promise you 100% of the time, he'll give you power, he'll give you love, and he'll give you a sound mind, and self will be defeated. Isn't it a joy when self's defeated? Don't you love it when you see God work? Wow, I mean, it's just such an encouragement. And that's what the Christ walk is. It's taking a step with power, love, and a sound mind. Another step, power, love, and a sound mind. Another step, power, love, and a sound mind. And you know, you get you get to taking enough faith steps where you're allowing the Spirit of God to work, your gift is stirred up within you, you have a vision for what God wants to do, you do that step after step after step, it begins to be more and more a part of your thought process, your life, your understanding. It comes deeply embedded in your heart and life. You realize you can't do anything without the Lord. Paul knew he couldn't do anything. Didn't matter that he'd been an apostle for years. He needed God every step. How did he make it when he was in the Mamertine prison writing this book? Because he was step by step believing God, and God gave him boldness. Remember, he prayed for boldness. And he asked the folks to pray that he would be the witness that he ought to be. He knew his own weakness, but he kept taking steps of faith, and God kept doing it, and God kept doing it. City after city was opened up. Testimony after testimony of God's power was done. It wasn't that Paul was great, it was that God was great. And each of us can be pioneers in our areas and see things happen that we know we don't have the ability. We're not a Dwight L. Moody. We're not a Billy Sunday. We don't have the brilliance of an Apostle Paul, but we got God. Power, love, sound mind. Power, love, sound mind. After a while, you know, you begin to get convinced, this is life. This is life. And he's saying, remember, Timothy, you've been there. You walked with me all throughout Asia Minor. We opened up cities together. We saw God do miracles. You saw me, you know, get beaten up, and then I was able to raise up. You know how God has worked miracles. Remember, take the step. Take the step. Don't let fear stop you. Don't look at things in your human weakness. You'll never be able to. It's never about you. It is always about what I can do because I indwell you. Stir up that gift. Get your vision back and realize that rationalizing fear is not of me. Just trust me. Power, love, and a sound mind. Let's bow for prayer. We bow for prayer tonight. This was just a follow-up to this morning, but I do want to encourage us to realize we can't, but God can, and God wants to. He wants to do a great work. How many tonight would say, you know, Pastor, God's been working in my heart. I've seen touches, but I realize it's very easy for me to let the spirit of fear come in, and then I do rationalize. I make excuses or allow myself just to be defeated and just figure, well, I just can't ever see victory. But tonight you would say, you know, I realize God has said we're not to allow the spirit of fear to conquer us, that it's the flesh, and that I have all that I need. And I need to have that heart, that fire back in my heart like I've had at times. I need to live that way, and I believe I can. And so by the grace of God, I'm just asking God to conquer the spirit of fear, to give me love and power and a sound mind. I realize that needs to be characterizing my life. It needs to get into the very core of who I am. And I believe it can be if I'll trust the Lord. And I would ask you to pray for me with heads bowed. Would you just slip your hand up if that's your heart cry here tonight? God bless you. Certainly my heart cry here tonight also. Maybe there's someone here and you need Jesus tonight. Don't let fear stop you from trusting him. You'd say, Pastor, pray for me. If I were to die, I'm not sure what would happen. And I'd appreciate your prayer. Anyone like that at all here tonight, we'd love to pray for you. Now, Lord, would you work in hearts? Lord, it's been a simple message tonight, but it's one that really gets right to the crux of who we are and really seeing you work. Lord, right now, there's no doubt that we could just step by step see many people touched and believers strengthened. We don't have to see all the weakness that we see in our day. But Lord, it's got to be looking to you and realizing you're not the author of fear, that you are able to give us the boldness that we need. Lord, we've got to stir up that gift. We've got to give our hearts to you. Lord, whatever is needed in these lives, would you make it clear what you would have them to do now? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.